covers the Chiefs.
With that, time's yours.
And you're in that place where you're in the playoffs.
He covers the Royals.
Blair, over there in the middle, on the left.
Salvador, just take us through your emotions.
He covers college sports.
But one great thing about the conference tournament, Blair, I think it gives teams hope.
And every now and then, he likes a good laugh.
Make them laugh, make them laugh. Don't you know everyone wants to laugh?
He's Blair Kirkhoff of the Kansas City Star on the program.
Blair Kirkhoff brought to you by our guys at Robert Brogdon Buick GMC. Robert Brogdon has you covered. Family owned and operated for over 25 years. Number one volume GM dealer in the state of Kansas and the Kansas City Metro. Largest volume GMC dealer in the Midwest. Check them out online at robertbrogdon.com. We welcome Mr. Kirkhoff to the program. Blair, how are you, sir?
Good, Saran. How you doing?
Doing very good, and I'm excited because very shortly I'm going to be headed off to Children's Mercy Park for the U.S. Women's National Team. I'm going to be taking on Korea tonight, the Korean Republic tonight, and I know this is a big day, not just for that we've got the best women's team in the world in town, but also FIFA here, CONCACAF here, all the soccer luminaries here taking a look at Kansas City as a host city for the 2026 World Cup. I know you've been covering it. How has it gone today? What all have you seen?
Yeah, I think this was the day for Kansas City to roll out the welcome mat for FIFA, the World Cup officials. Actually, they've been in town for, some of them got here as early as Tuesday. Most got in Wednesday, and this is the first stop for them on the second leg of their tour of U.S. cities. They pretty much covered the Eastern time zone, and Nashville, I think, was also covered in the first group. And this is the first part of the second group that'll be pretty much the Midwest cities and maybe go into Mexico. And then finally, they'll wrap it up with the tour of the West Coast cities. So the fact that Kansas City was first on this schedule means they got to spend a little extra time here. And maybe they did that on purpose. They wanted to find out a little more about Kansas City. As one of the FIFA officials said, they know what Kansas City is. They know where it is. They've seen the videos of Kansas City soccer fans in the Power and Light District during World Cup games, and it's a great scene, right? We've all seen them. But they hadn't been here. One of them said he has, because he's with CONCACAF, and of course the Gold Cup was here this summer. But it was an opportunity. About 20 of them in town, and they got to tour the facilities, what would be practice facilities, and out at Arrowhead Stadium, this afternoon, and as you said, going to Children's Mercy tonight for the women's game. So look, you know what? They got good weather. They ate barbecue at lunch. That's about all you can ask for from a Kansas City visit.
Yeah, Joe's Kansas City Barbecue, Nate told us, was what was served. So we know that's a win right there. There isn't anybody who's going to give a better spread than Joe's Kansas City Barbecue. So a tip of the cap to all our friends at Joe's. By the way, Blair, I'll be at the Kansas City Barbecue store. You know, that's Joe's wonderful creation for getting you all the grills and smokers, sauces, rubs, utensils, know-how. At 119th and Strangline, I'll be broadcasting there tomorrow. There's some talk of perhaps former Jayhawk great Wayne Simeon stopping by as well, so I'm looking forward to that. You know, he gets all his, like me, his grill, his sauces, his rubs, everything, charcoal, fuel, all of it there at the Kansas City Barbecue Store. So looking forward to that to tomorrow. But no way that Nate said they're going to Cincinnati next. Like, as soon as they sit down to some Skyline chili, it's over. We know Cincinnati's not going to be in the mix.
One bite and they're gone.
Off right away, right? That's...
Yeah. So what do you think? Do you think we get it?
Just talking about that with some colleagues here, it wasn't unanimous. But I don't know. I do think there's something to be said for being punching above your weight class in terms of cities that are bidding for this, being in the heart of the country, being no more than a four-hour flight from any of the destinations, including Canada and Mexico, a city that tries hard. Maybe I'm being a little Pollyanna-ish, but I hope that's part of the conversation that FIFA officials have. Listen, when it comes to when it comes to whatever it takes, money, you know, monetary or, you know, whatever FIFA demands from cities that are bidding for these games, Kansas City, they'll do what it takes. Any city would. But, look, the fact that we think of ourselves as a soccer capital, and whether that's true or not, at least we say we are, and that's okay. I can't imagine the city doing any more than what Kansas City has done, painting buildings, you know, streetcar wrapping, and promoting itself the way the city has for this. And if it happens, what a big freaking deal this would be. I mean, the World Cup, like FIFA officials reminded us today, 95 million people watched the Chiefs-Bucks Super Bowl game, and that's by far the largest television audience for an American sporting event. And the World Cup measures its TV audience in billions. So there's a little bit of a difference just in terms of global impact of the event. And just to think of Arrowhead Stadium having games that are being watched by billions of people while having, tens of thousands of visitors from different nations in your city, I just think that it's something that we really haven't thought much about. But if it happens, if sometime in early 2022 we learn that Kansas City's been awarded one of the 11 cities in the U.S., that realization will become just profound. And got to gear up for it.
I said it'll be the biggest thing ever in the history of the city. I think the only thing that might compare is Lewis and Clark standing out over the area, looking around, right? Like discovering, theoretically, or at least discovering for the Anglo world, Kansas City. I can't think of what would be, bigger than this. I mean, there is no event that's ever been held here that will even come close.
The only thing I can think of that if you're just talking about bodies in town for an event, two things come to mind. One is the dedication of the Liberty Memorial. If you've ever read about that or seen photos of that the World War I Memorial, across from Union Station was a world event, and dignitaries from around the world came to Kansas City for that unveiling. And then, the other thing is something that hasn't happened yet but will happen before the World Cup is the NFL Draft in 2023. We've seen the impact that's had on Nashville and other places. I guess Vegas had it this past year, but it was a little bit different. It's still with coronavirus. But that has a chance to bring an incredible amount of people and economic impact to Kansas City. But that's, again, a national event. The draft, of course, is a big national event. There's absolutely nothing in the world like the World Cup. There isn't. And I think the World Cup FIFA officials, they understand that there's nothing in their world like coming to the United States, because the last one was in Russia, and before that, Brazil. The other one prior to that was South Africa. You're not going to find, dozens to 16 cities in those countries that can compare to the top cities in this country, stadium size, population of the market. This is where soccer wants to be in 2026, and I really want Kansas City to be part of it.
Yeah, I do too. I think it'd be absolutely fantastic. All right, Blair Kirchhoff is with us. He's been covering FIFA being here in town all throughout the course of the day. We will take a break. We'll shift gears. We'll get into the college side of things. How confident are the fans locally in their team? Curtis Siebold polled the city as to how confident KU, K-State, Missouri fans are. We'll get Blair's reaction to what we think are somewhat surprising numbers next here in the program.
The Program with Soren Petro.
Thank God there's only one of these a day.
Weekdays from 2 to 6 on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
All right, the Joe's Kansas City Barbecue burnt end of the hour answer. Kyler Murray, Baker Mayfield, the second matchup ever of number one overall quarterbacks from the same college. That is, quarterbacks taken number one overall,
yes, sir,
at one of the same school.
I follow you.
Well, so I kind of used it quickly, and there was some confusion. One person, at least on Twitter, went, Manning and Rivers? I went, wait a minute, I don't think you heard my question.
They didn't go to the same school.
No,
people.
And they weren't number one overall. What was the first matchup number one overall?
Manning and Rivers.
Yeah, I was like, wait a minute, what? So I don't think you heard the question. So I thought, well.
I was thinking Eli and Peyton.
Yeah.
I forgot Manning and Rivers. No. Come on, people.
What was the second matchup of number one overall? What was the first? That's the question. You got this eventually.
I eventually.
Pretty quickly.
Act like it took me a month. It took me like 15 seconds.
Yeah. Pretty quickly.
Blair, you want to take a shot?
So it's a matchup of quarterbacks from the same college who were overall number one.
Yeah, ones from the same school going head to head in a game.
I was trying to work Sam Bradford in there with the Oklahoma guys.
No, nope, it's not OU. I mean, I think it'll happen here eventually that we'll get Baker against Kyler.
Right, right.
Because I'm on a first-name basis, by the way, with the Oklahoma quarterbacks. I don't know why I just
noticed that.
Baker versus Kyler just happened. That was the jumping-off point of the question.
Oh, it did?
Yeah, that was the jumping-off. That was the second matchup.
Oh, no, we don't listen to you, Curtis.
Yeah, seriously.
Clearly. No, you were wondering if anyone heard the question. You didn't hear the question.
Well, after the question you had yesterday with the pitches and so forth, I don't think we need a...
Guilty. Guilty. That question was ass.
I'm drawing a blank.
Divisional matchup in the early or mid-80s. We'll say divisional matchup in the NFL, mid-80s. Some local note may have been in the same division the Chiefs play in.
One was a one. If I told you, would give it away. One was a Pat Niner and Raider,
and a Heisman winner.
Oh, how about Plunkett and Elway?
There you go.
Yep.
There you go.
Three times, twice in 83 and once in 84.
There you go. That's it. What are we playing for there, Kay? A little Jazz?
A little Joe's Kansas City Barbecue.
Oh, that's right, Joe's. Joe's Kansas City Barbecue. Get it on your way home tonight. Go to joeskc.com. Order it. Their carryout is phenomenal.
World class.
Served to FIFA.
World class barbecue.
Served to FIFA. All right? That's what it is. Kansas City knew they had one shot. Who do they go to? Joe's Kansas City Barbecue. FIFA approved. How is that? Does that technically get me in trouble?
Yeah.
We didn't approve crap.
Anthony Bourdain, FIFA.
There you go.
There you go. What else do you need to know?
I don't know. Blair Kirkhoff is with us. I'll let you know that. Our college insider from the Kansas City Star, brought to you by Robert Brogdon Buick GMC, I-35 and Santa Fe. Don't forget, the redesigned 21 GMC Yukon is now back in stock at Brogdon. So check them out, I-29 at Tiffany Springs, online at robertbrogdon.com. Blair, Curtis did a poll. You know how he likes his poll.
Yeah.
He likes to put out there little questions, surveys, if you will. And this one said what, Curtis?
I asked, this is part of a Frank Opinions yesterday that we actually didn't get to, which fan base should be the most positive about their football program over the next 5 years?
You're reading the question. Why was it so difficult for you to spit that out?
Because I closed that window, and I was trying to remember it. Here it is, the specific question.
Does anybody feel, in your mind, Jed, better than Curtis?
Yes, no.
Absolutely not.
None.
He's the best, the pro, that's what we call him.
Which fan base should feel best about the next 5 years of football? Kansas State, Missouri.
What do you think? What do you think the breakdown was? Percentage-wise.
All right, I think... Fans being usually positive in nature, I would think that each fan base, each of the three fan bases, would feel positive about the future of their program. So maybe somewhat even split of that. Now, among the three, if I had to rank them, crazy as it sounds, I might think KU would be first.
Okay.
Missouri second, K-State third. Hmm. But having said that, I think all of them have reason to feel pretty good about the future of their program.
Okay. Curtis, the results?
59.5%. Essentially 60% said Missouri.
What?
60% in a three-way race.
They haven't stopped anybody all year.
Yeah.
But they're still, and they haven't been able to get anything going offensively in the first quarter.
I would say the one caveat might be that this was question was asked about 18 hours after they landed the number one wide receiver in the country.
And,
Maybe they were feeling a little bit better.
Who then everybody also informed, if they weren't aware of, that the rest of the recruiting class is really good as well. So I do think that heavily influenced the Tigers' side of things. Number two?
25% said K-State. 15% said Kansas.
I actually would have thought K-State would be last because Kansas, Leipold hadn't been there long enough, and year one's never your fault.
Yeah.
And so I would have thought the Kansas fans would have been more bullish on Lance Leipold, and the K-State fans would have been more frustrated coming off a three-game losing streak. I think it's you know, I think that's unfair to Chris Klieman, but that's what I would have expected, and it's not what we got. Let's start with the K-State side of things. That they weren't a little bit more bullish because I think, you know, Chris Klieman has more success at K-State than Eli Drinkwitz has at Missouri. But to be clear, I mean, what's Drinkwitz is what, 8-8? And has not knocked off Oklahoma twice.
No.
Right.
You know, his big win is a win against LSU that, you know, has now fired its coach.
Yeah.
And didn't have a particularly good season in the year that he knocked them off. I know it was a big deal at that time, but
they beat Arkansas, who is good now, but wasn't very good last year.
Yeah, I think we can. I mean, I think we see why. I think it's the recruiting is going well, and I think you like Eli Drinkwitz if you're a Missouri fan. I like him. I like what he has to say. He's prepared. I mean, I think if he's losing all the catchphrases, it'll piss people off. But when you're winning, it's a sign that he's got a plan for everything. You know, and I think that is encouraging for Missouri fans. So, great recruiting class. Eli Drinkwitz, I think, is a great front guy for the school, for the program. You know, he needs to find defensive coaching.
Yes.
Right? Like, that has to happen. He hasn't done it. But that one I don't mind as much because I think you can just, especially from a defensive coordinator, if he can find, you know, his Greg Schiano. Right, like some guy who's a really good defensive coordinator who's just failed as a head coach, but has been in the college game, knows the recruiting game, knows the assistants that are down, boots on the ground, out in the high schools and recruiting. You hire that guy, he can solve a lot of your problems. He can add to your ability to recruit, and he can handle the defensive side of the ball. To me, I'm less worried about that if I'm a Tiger fan than I am the fact that he hasn't been able to get his offense going for a quarter and a half.
No, I agree with that. For Missouri, I think, first of all, I think the high number for Missouri here, close to 60%, right, was, fans who are really engaged in the program right now. And I think that explains Kansas's really low number. It's just, there's just not much engagement with the fan base. So, yeah, look, Missouri coming off the A&M loss, and, you know, that game was over after 10 minutes. And although the Missouri played them evenly the rest of the way, they were never going to win the game. But I think Drinkwitz tried to spin it positively after the game, and that's what he should do. That's what he, you know, that's what he has to do for his team. I'm with you, Taren. I've actually been a little more discouraged by what I've seen from Bazelak in the offense than as much as, you know, the inability of the defense to stop anybody, especially on the ground. I was thinking maybe as that Tennessee and A&M games were getting out of hand early, they could at least get in a shootout. Right.
Right.
You know, get it.
And let it end up being like that LSU game. Let it end up being like the Arkansas game. But we're not seeing that. He's not getting it done, and it's year two with the quarterback. Now, I will say this. I think if I'm a Tiger fan, I feel good that he's got a kid who was really highly thought of from East St. Louis, and then he's got a kid coming from Georgia that is really highly thought of. You know, it's like, I think, like a top 10 quarterback.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that may be
number
like,
seven.
You might be like, okay, it's not working with Bazelak, but, you know, he is filling the coffers with quality quarterback recruits. And so now you may be scratching your head saying, well, when are you going to turn off a Bazelak? Which there's many different reasons to not turn away from Basilak and to not burn a red shirt year and to, you know, do those things to where that's acceptable. I don't think we've reached the point of Basilak's not a disaster by any stretch. He's just kind of doing a Brock Purdy. He's kind of the same guy he was last year, particularly against the big schools. I mean, I've mentioned it. I think he's what is it? 7 touchdowns, no INTs, or is it not? No, it's
7-0. I think it was.
Is it 7-0? Is 9-0 against? Is even more than that. Anyway, I think he might be like, no. It's 5 touchdowns and 7 interceptions against Power 5 schools. 7 touchdowns, no INTs against non-Power 5s. So it's even more. And by the way, one of the Power 5 games was 4 touchdowns, 1 INT against Kentucky, I think. Does that sound right?
Yeah, that was the one game that he had BC. That was good. I think it was Kentucky.
It's Kentucky. So he does have a good game. And I'm not, listen, I'll take Connor Basilak at Syracuse right now. Right now.
And he lost his best running back to the NFL last year. He plays for the Chargers now.
Yeah, but he's got another good one.
But he had 2 studs last year.
Yeah, he did. But you know, so it's, we're still in the process, and this isn't any different. I don't expect him 2 recruiting classes in for everyone to be freshmen and sophomores, but we're still looking at him playing some other guys. But I think the quarterback spot, you know, there's still reason to be very optimistic if you're a Tiger fan, even if Basilak does kind of peter out. But you know, he's not firing himself as the offensive coordinator. And so he's got to find a way to get this offense going earlier. Whatever it is, like he can't, like, yes, the defense isn't stopping anyone, but his side of the ball isn't helping either.
Right. And look, I think he actually has some decent receivers too. I think Kiki Chisholm is a good player and Dove is can be good. I like the tight end, that Daniel Parker from Kansas City. I think he has an opportunity to be a good player. That's what's a little puzzling to me about the last couple of games for Basilak is I just don't think he played particularly well in either game, and I'm a little bit concerned about that. That I thought he did fine against BC and Kentucky, the toss-up games that we've spent a lot of time talking about. That Missouri couldn't win, but just the offense just couldn't get going at all. Tennessee and A&M kind of loaded up to stop Tyler Beatty, and Basilak, you know, couldn't get it done. And the passing game couldn't get it done. And it just gives you a little pause because Basilak had all year to work all offseason with Eli Drinkwitz, and you kept hearing good things about, how they're going to improve in the red zone and some of the issues they had last year, and they've been spending so much time on that. And I just didn't think we would see Missouri line up against anybody on their schedule this year and lose the way they lost to especially to Tennessee. An A&M game can happen, but to lose to Tennessee the way they did was just such a jolt to the system. And look, we always look at the quarterback in these moments. But as bad as the defense was, there was an opportunity to stay with them. But the offense looked listless against and almost disinterested against Tennessee. So I've got a little bit of a radar up for that. But listen, just to bring it back to what you guys were talking about, to get this Luther Burden kid, especially during an open week, right? So you're not mumbling about grumbling about who might be coming up next on the schedule.
Right.
Now you've got nothing but feeling good about landing the 5-star recruit. And it's just fortuitous timing, I think, for Missouri this week, and maybe that also, as you said earlier, Curtis, contributed to the good vibes of the poll here. And hey, Curtis, let me ask you, how many people responded to that poll?
About 6. 7. I think it was 700.
That's great. I mean, that to me, that's fairly representative. And
occasionally, you'll get fans. We have this a lot with the 3 schools. Some KU fans will vote maybe against somebody if somebody votes the other direction, just to kind of maybe throw the numbers off. But I think in the end, it kind of balances out, and the numbers you get are fairly accurate.
Yeah, right. I think it's a good. I mean, listen, if somebody from KU votes for another school, it speaks to where they are on that. Right. So
yeah, that's
exactly. Someone else other than you like it.
Yeah, it is what it is. It's a poll. All right, we're going to take a quick break. Blair Kirkhoff is with us, brought to you by our friends at Robert Brogdon Buick GMC. We'll get more into the KU and K-State side of things next here in the program.
The program with Soren Petro.
I wanted to hear mindless droning. I'd befriend an air conditioner.
Weekdays from 2 to 6 on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
We ramble on here with Blair Kirchhoff, brought to you by Robert Brogdon Buick GMC. I-35 at Santa Fe online at robertbrogdon.com. Blair, so the Kansas fans, is it just they haven't seen enough to jump on board? I've certainly heard enough to believe in Lance Leipold. It's one thing when you're not winning and you have these weird catatonic press conferences. Lance Leipold sounds like a leader. And I've seen enough of his just keeping an outgunned team in the game and seeing how many people came with him from Buffalo to believe that players, I'm talking about, not to mention staff, but the staff likes him, kids like him. You know, I think he's done a good job in the transfer portal. I like where Kansas is going. I think Kansas fans should be a little bit more on board.
Yeah, and how do they show that? I mean, just by going to games, I suppose, is the best way to do it, to support him that way. I think that he is absolutely doing it the right way, and we can never remind the Kansas fans enough that he didn't have spring football. He was basically introducing himself to the team in fall camp. And I'll never forget something I heard him say. I don't know if it was on his call-in show his weekly show that's on your air, by the way, that
would be Hawk Talk, hosted by Brian Haney
on the Jayhawk Radio Network.
And you know what they do at the end of the show, Blair?
What's that?
They rock chalk it up
every time.
That's right. Well,
I love that call. I'm actually a huge fan of that call.
I heard him say on the show a few weeks ago that it wasn't until after the season started that he really had a sit-down conversation with Jason Bean, the quarterback, right? That, because there was competition and everything, you couldn't even have a normal relationship with your starting quarterback. So that's how far behind they are. And they just left with such a bad hand. And it probably is going to take them another couple years to get up to speed. I had a chance to talk to Travis Goff, as I think you did too, didn't you, the other day? And
yes.
Thanks for
listening, Blair.
Yeah. How long did it take? I asked him how long he expected before you could see like a bowl eligible season. And, he wouldn't go there, would not go there. So I'm thinking maybe 3 years would be nice for Kansas fans to see something a little bit more, little bit of improvement next year. You get your guys in. You can promise playing time, so maybe you can get transfer guys that way. And,
yeah.
After 3 years, I'd like to see him bowl eligible.
Yeah, I will say this about Travis Goff too. He didn't have that much time. He got hit with a machine gun of topics by me, and he did really good, right? Like, I mean, I even said to him beforehand, I said, by the way, here's what's coming, because I didn't want him to, a lot of times it can be like, I'm like, there's a lot to get to, Travis. I'm sorry, I don't have more time. We'll have you in studio sometime. You can sit and we'll have more time to maybe have a little more small talk. I said, but I got a lot of topics I want to get to you. Handled them all really well. So I do think Leipold, Goff, Self, that looks like a pretty good combination for the Jayhawks moving forward. I want to ask you about Chris Klieman and his comments about positivity. I don't think it wrecks him, but, man, it's a sign that he could not read the room right now.
Yeah, I wish he hadn't said that. I guess I thought he'd been around long enough to know that it doesn't work that way. And maybe he's feeling it a little bit with what is now, eight straight conference losses dating back to last year. This year's schedule didn't do him any favors.
No.
And I do think that they're poised to end the streak here really soon and end up with a bowl team this year. So, I think Kansas State fans will get to, get the vacation somewhere at the end of December or early January. But, it was just almost a little naive on his part.
I think, and I'm sorry we're running out of time here, Blair, but I think it's a sign. I mean, listen, he took over a championship program at a smaller level. I don't think he's ever been around. I think it's just like he doesn't have the experience to read this kind of room. But I don't think it's going to – I don't think it crushes him. I don't think it means he's over his head. Nothing like that. It just was, not the best plan that
wasn't,
one.
Wasn't a great moment.
Exactly.
Wasn't a great moment for him.
Exactly.
But,
he'll be fine.
Listen, I still like him as a coach. still think he's going to get it done at K-State.
Blair, you're the man. We appreciate it. We'll talk to you next week.
Sounds good.
Time for our Deli Fresh End of the Hour question. Sponsored by Good Sense. Chosen by KC sandwich lovers for 30 years. Good Sense. Not because it's easy, but because it's better.
All right, how many Royals pitchers have started two potential postseason clinchers? Brought to you by Good Sense.